May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thing I wanted to share with you today from John chapter 4. Again, this story, there's so many things in this story, obviously. At least I'm coming up with a bunch of stuff. And the most important thing it says about Jesus in John 1:18, that no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has explained him. That Jesus was full of grace and truth. As I've said in the last few weeks, I've heard people try to explain that by saying that Jesus was this great balance. He was like this truth person, and then he was a grace person. And that's not what that scripture is saying at all, if you go back and read that section. It was saying because he was full of grace, he was full of truth. Because the truth about God is that he's full of grace. God is love. And one of the things that Jesus did, we see it recorded so many times in all the Gospels, but in John especially for me, is that Jesus was wanting to reveal to these religious people who had a warped concept of who God the Father was, who Jehovah was. They saw him as the great ruler, the great judge, the great going to get back at you if you don't do it perfect, the great perfectionist. And Jesus was trying to reveal to them the truth about the Father. And so he was constantly at the Father's direction, picking fights with the leaders of the Jews, like healing the guy on the Sabbath day who had been crippled for 38 years. And when they confront Jesus, not without any concern that the man had been healed, that he'd simply broken the rules and told a man to pick up his pallet and walk, which that was also against the rules, Jesus said, don't blame it on me. I just do the things I see the Father doing, and I just say the things I hear the Father saying. The Father wants you to see something about his true nature, that people and their healing and their wholeness is more important to him than keeping the rules that you've established. He's a God of grace. That's the truth about him. You know, the scripture says in Acts 10, this amazing thing about Jesus, that, and Jesus, filled the Holy Spirit of being led by the Spirit, went about doing good and healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. And that's what Jesus did. He went about doing good because he wanted the people of Israel to understand that the primary reality of who God is, the truth about him, is that he's good. And everything else has to flow from that. I mean, that's simple theology. God is good. The devil is bad. All right? And so in this chapter, this is the place, again, where Jesus chooses to say, here's what the Father's looking for. In John chapter 4, as this woman's life is being totally transformed, as she encounters the goodness of God, in the person of Christ, she sees the face of the Father and the heart and attitude of Jesus. He reveals to her that he knows everything about her, which was pretty scandalous and pretty sad. And yet, he engages in conversation with her and loves her, reveals her heart, and her life is transformed. She carries revival, if you've been hanging around here for the last few weeks, into this whole region, this woman who was this total outcast. And he said, and she begins to ask this question. Because even though she was broken, even though she'd been married 5 times, was living with a guy, she was still seeking truth. She was seeking God. Because she begins to ask him questions like, well, do we worship? We think it's right to worship here in Mount Gerizim, but you Jews think it's right to worship him in Jerusalem. And eventually Jesus says, look, an hour is coming, verse 23, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Doesn't matter where you're at. For such people, the Father is constantly seeking to be his worshipers. Those who worship in spirit and truth. And so Jesus uses this woman's example and this particular person to reveal what the Father's after. He's looking for love-sick worshipers. He's looking for people who will love him. We read the first and great commandment again today. The first and great commandment, God's priority, therefore, our chief calling in life as human beings is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The loving your neighbor as yourself part takes care of itself if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because that's who he is. But here's the thing I wanted you to see today, just remind you of, as Jesus is carrying on this conversation with her. She says in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. I mean, she has a spiritual mind. She's pondered these things. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And the word there, declare, it means to have conversation with, to have mutual disclosure. That when the Messiah comes, there'll be mutual disclosure. There'll be conversation. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am him, am he. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he was speaking with a woman. Yet no one said to her, what do you seek? Or to him, why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot, went to the city, and God used her to birth revival. Let me read this place from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched with a blazing fire, to darkness and gloom and whirlwind, the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such as those who heard begged that no further word would be spoken to them. He's contrasting New Testament true worshipers as opposed to how the Old Testament believers had conditioned they'd gotten themselves into. They didn't want to hear God's voice, because what they expected whenever God would speak was just condemnation and rejection and judgment. So they begged, we don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. He says, but you come to something totally different. And then he says this in verse 26, instead of reading the whole thing, or verse 25. See to it that you not refuse him who is speaking. In the language there, he's a speaking God. And yet your whole spiritual culture is in God doesn't speak. As a matter of fact, a Jewish understanding is that God only revealed himself. Really, only one person got to have really any kind of intimate contact with God at all, and that was the high priest on the Day of Atonement, who would go in and offer the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, and they would tie a rope to his foot and bells on there, and if they heard the bells ring and they figured in God's presence, he dropped dead, and they would drag his body out. That was their understanding of God. They couldn't even pronounce his name. Yahweh couldn't even be spoken except on that one day. And he says, see to it that you not refuse him who is speaking. And then in verse 26, and he says, his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. What shook the earth before? His voice. How's he going to shake the earth now? We talk about everything that can be shaken is being shaken. God shakes everything in your life and everything around us through his voice. Prophetic things he's going to speak, just personal things he speaks to you. The scripture says we live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. And if we don't believe he speaks to us, if we don't believe we can hear his voice, if we believe that all he wants to say to us is condemnation, therefore we're afraid to get with him, then he can't shake those things out of us that prevent us from experiencing all that he has for us in the kingdom. Thus, the story of the woman at the well. What an example. If there was anybody who should be afraid that if God spoke to them, they would experience rejection, condemnation, was a woman in a religious environment who had been married 5 times and now was living with a guy. And yet, of all the conversations that Jesus has with all the people that we have recorded in Scripture, this is the longest conversation he has with any individual. That's not a coincidence. And this is the first person that Jesus reveals his identity to clearly. And Everybody else, which were not very many, where he clearly had revealed his identity, it never was this clear. Now, that's amazing. Why in the world would he pick this woman to say, she said, well, I know when Messiah comes, he's going to have a conversation. Jesus goes, there you go. I am the Messiah, and I'm revealing to you the truth about him, because to be a true worshiper, you got to worship with all your heart, spirit, but you got to worship with all your heart because you know truth. The Jews don't worship with all their heart because they don't know the truth about God. It's hard to get excited about a God who just wants to kill you because you don't do it perfect. He said, I knew everything about you. I came to reveal him. And I've had this conversation with you. She said, well, I know when the Messiah comes, he's going to have conversation, going to reveal things to us. Jesus said, that would be me. What's all that to say what? Jesus loves, God loves to talk to us. He loves intimacy with us. He's accessible to us. He's called the word conversation, the door, an entrance. Revelation 1 said he's the voice. He longs. It says in Song of Solomon 2 that our voice is sweet to him. And when we're present to him, it feels like home to him. Jesus said in John 10 that we are wired. His sheep hear his voice. And what does he say with the story of the woman at the well? And when you're at your worst, and you've got these scandalous things inside of you, he wants to talk to you more then than any other place, than any other time. Isn't it true that we avoid him and we allow shame to keep us from him? And Jesus is saying, that's when you need to hear my voice the most. What was Jesus revealing to us? One of the things about the Father, how good he is. He wants to speak to us. He's not threatened by our brokenness, nor is he shocked. He knows more about it than you do. And it's in those places he wants to be intimate and conversational with you more than any place else, because he wants to bring wholeness and healing into your life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.